This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salamun ala ibadihi alladhi nastafa. Khususan ala Sayyidi al-Rusul wa Khatam al-Anbiya wa ala alihi al-Askiya wa ashabihi al-Atqiya. Amma ba'd. Today we continue from page 66. Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghadir rahimahullah ta'ala titles this The Manners of Offering Condolences. Yes.
Bismillah alhamdulillah salatu was salam ala rasulillah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Qala al-mu'allif rahimahullah, The Manner of Offering Condolences. When offering condolences about the plight of a relative, friend, or acquaintance, it is mustahab, preferable, to make dua similar to the following dua for your deceased brother. This is a dua which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited to Salama radiallahu ta'ala anha at the death of her husband.
Salama radiallahu anha was one of the wives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When her husband passed away, she was devastated and very heartbroken. And in her heart, she felt that she would never find that same love and peace again. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught her a particular dua to read. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had willed that later on she would become one of the ummahatul mu'mineen. And she was honored to be the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So the dua that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam recited at the passing of Abu Salama. Yes.
اللهم اغفر لأبي سلمة وارفع درجته في المهديين واخلفه في عقبه في الغابرين واغفر لنا وله يا رب العالمين وافسح له في قبره ونور له فيه. O Allah, forgive Abu Salama رضي الله عنه, elevate his status among the guided people and look after the family that he left behind. O Lord of the universe, forgive us and him, comfort him in his grave,
and let him stay in the grave. So the dua is so comprehensive. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam focuses first and foremost on the deceased, the one that has passed away. Oh Allah, forgive Abu Salama. Elevate his status among the guided people. Then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua for the family that he left behind. When the deceased leaves the world, there is a whole group of people that were related or connected to that individual whose hearts are broken, who are trying to figure out how to live life now that their beloved is not with them, be it a mother, a father, a friend, a relative. So there are people, so many people that are impacted. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam makes dua for those that are left behind. And after that, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he makes dua for the congregation. Oh Allah, forgive us and him. He makes, as he closes, he says, comfort him in his grave and lighten his stay in the grave. Yes.
It is desirable that your conversation with the bereaved person be aimed at lightening the effect of the calamity. This could be done by mentioning the reward of patience over that calamity, the transitory nature of life on earth, and that the hereafter is an everlasting book.
When you do convey condolences to a person, if there is someone that is experiencing loss and you decide to convey condolences to them, it's important that you show empathy first and foremost. Sometimes what happens is that you go to convey condolences to an individual at the loss of a family member. There's no empathy. You're making du'as for them, but that person almost feels insulted. They feel insulted because you're telling them to be patient. And they're thinking, you're telling me to be patient without any empathy. It's as if you're dismissing my emotions and my feelings. Do you not understand what I'm going through? So when you're giving du'as and before you convey your condolences, the first thing is that you need to convey some level of empathy. Whether it's saying a few good words about the deceased, that I've heard great things or I've had great interactions. I remember uncle would come to the masjid. He was one of the first people to establish the Muslim community in America, in the city. So-and-so person was a regular at taking care of the orphans. I remember this person when I was young, he used to give candy to me, you know? So you show empathy, you show that that person meant something to you. And if you don't have that relationship with that individual, then you can say that I can see that person's legacy in you. I can see that person's legacy in your family. That individual, even though I didn't meet them, must have been someone very great. Say a few good words. Then the next thing that's very important is that you acknowledge and maybe verbally even say to the individual that the reality is, I can't imagine how heartbroken you must be. This is a great time to maybe reference something from the seerah of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that even the Messenger of Allah was heartbroken when his dear family members left this world. And that was a prophet of Allah who was spiritually so strong and was so connected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I can't imagine what you are going through. At that time, if you think appropriate, maybe you can even ask that person, is there any story that you feel comfortable sharing regarding your deceased relative friend? Is there anything that really stands out? That person now has an opportunity to open up their heart and share a story that, you know, Baba used to come home and hug me every day after a long day of work. Baba had a temper, but at the end of his temper, he always embraced us and told us how much he loved us. I saw him working hard. I saw the sacrifices that he made to put us through Islamic school or get us in the environment of Islam that we needed so much. While we didn't understand it at that time, Baba understood it. You know, these are stories, these are perspectives, right? Now that person will have a chance to speak. You've shared something from the seerah. You've asked that person to share a story or two. So now the hearts are soft and there is a bond of empathy there. This is now your opportunity to share an ayah of the Quran or a dua of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet of Allah, Ayyub alayhi salam, was also tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised him this, this, and this. So many anbiya alayhi salam were tested by Allah. And this is an opportunity for us to reflect over that period in their life and how we can now bring that into our lives. A word or two, very simple, very brief. Remember, مَا قَلَّ وَكَفَى خَيْرٌ مِمَّا كَثُرَ وَأَلْهَى. That which is little, insufficient. You don't want to start giving like a whole two-hour bayan, two-hour lecture. Give like a timer to yourself. Whatever I'm going to say, I need to get it done within 4 minutes. Within 4 minutes, I need to pack in everything that I wish to say. And then hand it back over to that individual and let them say whatever they want to. So this is a sort of rubric, some framework of how to give condolences to someone that has lost a family member when you go to sit with them. Try not to step out of this rubric that we're offering you. Because when you venture off, unless you are very good at communications, you're going to botch it up. The chances are very high. And you're going to cause pain and hurt to that individual. You're going to be an inconvenience. So Sheikh Abdul Fattah Abu Ghudda continues to offer us some advice on how to carry out these gatherings. Yes.
In this respect, it is desirable to reiterate certain verses of the Quran that are connected to that, or some of the well-spoken condolences of our ancestors. You may mention virtues such as the following. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم وبشر الصابرين الذين إذا أصابتهم مصيبة قالوا إنا لله وإنا إليه راجعون أولئك عليهم صلوات من ربهم ورحمة وأولئك هم المهتدون. Give glad tidings to those who patiently endure, who say when afflicted with a calamity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala we belong and to him we return. They are those whom descend blessings and mercy from their Lord, and they are the ones that receive guidance. كل نفس ذائقة الموت وإنما توفون أجوركم يوم القيامة فمن زحزح عن النار وأدخل الجنة فقد فاز وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور. Every soul shall have a taste of death, and only on the day of judgment shall you be paid your full recompense. Only those who are saved from the fire and admitted to paradise, Jannah, will have attained the object of life. For the life of this world is but good and Shadows of Deception, Surah Ali Imran 185. كل من عليها فان ويبقى وجه ربك ذو الجلال والإكرام. All that is on earth will perish, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will abide forever. The face of your Lord, most gracious and most generous. Surah Rahman 26-27.
He presents these ayat of the Quran as a great reflection in these moments. When you offer condolences, you need to kind of ask yourself, at what point in this person's grieving process am I speaking to them? Did this individual just lose someone half an hour ago? Maybe depending on how close you are and how you think they may be willing to listen to you, quoting an ayah or two could be beneficial. Usually when someone close and dear to me passes away, I follow up with them twice. The first is within the first few hours when I hear the news. I usually prefer to send them a voice note. That way they can listen to it at their own luxury whenever they feel is appropriate for them to listen to it. It'll usually be 3 or 4 minutes long with some du'as and some nasiha. And then 1 week later, I try to follow up with them again. And that's where you can sit down and quote these ayat of the Quran and help them make sense out of their emotions and channel what they're going through to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's where these ayat of the Quran are very fundamental. They're very important because when you experience so many emotions in your life, people are generally trying to find something to hold on to, something that makes sense. And when someone else comes to them and quotes an ayah of the Quran and gives it the correct perspective, it changes their mindset. In Islam, grieving is very important. Yet at the same time, we don't encourage people over grieving. There is like not grieving at all, which isn't a good thing, but overdoing it is dangerous. And it's actually very dangerous. If a person doesn't limit how much they grieve, and people just sit there and sulk and allow that water to just stay still, not only will the water spoil, but anyone that drinks from it will also be spoiled. The impact of people prolonging their grieving period is not only limited to an individual, but it impacts the society. This is why in Islam, when you look at the jahili practices of grieving, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam for the most part said, La'an Allah, La'an Allah, La'an Allah. Allah's curses upon those practices. I mean, someone's grieving in a particular way, why would Allah's la'na go to them? It's at best an individual sin, someone would assume. But in reality, these are not individual sins. When they become custom, society shuts down. People are no longer functional. They go into depression. Among Arabs, this was a big thing. When someone would pass away, they would read these marafi. This is a type of poetry they would read, a marfiya. And the concept was that you would read poetry that would describe the pain at the separation of the beloved one. And they would read these poems again. And a week later, they'd read it again. And a month later, they'd read it again. And the wounds that these people were trying to stitch up would be ripped open. Women would come and hit themselves and they would cry, لَيْسَ مِنَّا مَنْ ضَرَبَ الْخُدُودِ وَشَقَّ الْجُيُوبِ وَدَعَى بِدَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. That person is not from us who hits their cheeks. This is something they would do. They would hit their faces. وَشَقَّ الْجُيُوبِ and tears open their collars. They would do this to show their pain. وَدَعَى بِدَعْوَ الْجَاهِلِيَّةِ. And this person makes jahili, pre-Islamic calls of ignorance, the days from ignorance. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibited all of this. The riwayah that people commonly quote regarding Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prohibiting women to go to the graveyard, most people don't finish off the riwayah. They quote the first part, where Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, لَعَنَ اللَّهُ زَائِرَاتِ الْقُبُورِ. Allah's curse is upon women who visit the graveyard, but that's not where the narration ends. The narration actually continues and it says, وَالْمُتَّخِذِينَ عَلَيْهَا سُرُجًا. Allah's curse is upon women who visit the graveyard and they place candles on it. This was a practice among the Arabs that after someone would pass away, they would almost camp out at the grave. And then the pain of their separation from their beloved one would become so heavy on their heart. So now you had a whole society of people that were just sulking in pain. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us the Islamic approach to to how to deal with the pain of a beloved one. The closure is real. It's not just in words and celebrated falsely. That's why you have to be careful when it comes to looking at pictures of those that have passed away. If you're able to look at a picture and just serve it, that picture just serves as a memory and then put it away, I can see the utility to that. But for most people, when they look at the pictures of their deceased friends or family members, it tears open those emotions again. And for the next 2 days, they're crying. For the next 3 hours, they're crying. You have to be careful of how you balance this. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us in Islam, how do we find closure at the departure of our beloved ones? The first thing is we do talqeen. When someone's passing away, we encourage them to say, La ilaha illallah, la ilaha illallah. You don't necessarily instruct them to say it, but you softly say it in their presence, hoping that they say it too. After that individual passes away, in Islam, we have a concept of taghseel, where the family members wash the body, closure. Takfeen, you shroud the body, some more closure. Then salatul janaza, for the whole community, an opportunity for some closure, making dua. Tadafeen, everyone again, closure, walk towards the graveyard for your beloved Muslim brother or sister and participate in the burial. After that person has passed away, Islam has given us some days that you can utilize these 3 days or so to mourn or be, you know, kind of deal with your emotions. And then after that, you need to get back up on your feet and continue with life. No one's saying it's going to be easy, but sitting around isn't going to make it any better. This is where now, if you want to continue to build, you know, work through what you're dealing with, Islam offers you this beautiful gift, beautiful opportunity of Isal al-Thawab, where you make dua on behalf of the deceased. You give sadaqah on behalf of the deceased. So everything's very practical, it's very real. And if someone needs, they can speak to a therapist, speak to a counselor, someone that can help them deal with those emotions. And it's at this point, so there's that first phase where the sadama occurs, when the calamity occurs, that a little word or two of condolences go a long way. And then it's at the second phase where they're now at that 4, 5, 6, 7 day marker, where if you come back and say a few words, the impact is profound too. So the point that I was making is that when you do offer your condolences, you need to ask yourself, at what point in this person's grieving process am I offering these condolences? And then cater your words accordingly. Yes. Here he shows us a beautiful dua that will shortly be read. If you recall a few moments ago, I said when Abu Salama passed away, Salama was very sad. And she felt that she would never find love again like that. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught her this dua. He said to her, read this dua and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you what's good for you. And this is a beautiful dua to read anytime you face any calamity. You know, we're in the middle of a pandemic still. I don't know if this is the beginning, middle, or end of it. We don't know. But we're at some point in this pandemic, somewhere along it we are. And every day there's a new calamity, a new story we face. This dua is one that we should have at the tip of our tongues, and they were constantly reading. Go ahead, read it.
You may even mention a hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, such as the following. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa akhidni khayran minha. O Allah, reward me in my calamity and replace my loss with a better one.
This is that Salama radiallahu anha riwayah. Allahumma ajirni fi musibati wa khluf li khayran minha. Yes.
Inna lillahi ma akhadha wa lahu ma a'ta wa kullu shay'in 'indahu bi ajalin musamma.
If you recall, I shared that this was the dua that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read when his grandchild passed away in the house of Zainab radiallahu anha. Zainab radiallahu anha's child was passing away. She called Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent the messenger back. She then told the messenger that I want my father here. So the messenger came back and said, O Messenger of Allah, Zainab is insisting that you come. So at that point, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even though it must have been so difficult for him to be in the room that his grandchild was going to pass away, and he enters, and then when he greets her, he says this statement here, Inna lillahi ma akhadh, for Allah is what he took. Whatever you're in pain over, you're in pain over it because you temporarily built a relationship with that animal, with that belonging, with that human being, whatever it is that person lost. It's because for a short period you built a relationship. But ultimately, that soul belonged to Allah long before you even knew it existed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed the righteousness in that soul before it even entered into this dunya. فَأَلْهَمَهَا فُجُورَهَا وَتَقْوَاهَا. And this soul was beloved to Allah, yet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent it to the dunya so that some people may interact with it and so that they can benefit from it. But at the end of the day, since it always belonged to Allah, one day the soul will leave the body and that body will fall limp and that beloved servant of Allah will return back to his Lord or her Lord. So the people in the world feel pain that, it's not every day that you meet someone that you can love and someone that loves you in return. There's pain there. Serious pain there. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam teaches us through this dua, the right mindset. Inna lillahi ma akha wa lahu ma a'ta. And whatever he gave belonged to him. What he took belonged to him, and what he gave also belonged to him. Wa kullu shay'in 'indahu bi ajalin musamma. And everything is set in its allotted time with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You know how a project manager will tell you everything has a fixed time, that everything has to be done in this time, in this time frame, in this time frame. With Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, everything has a time frame too. This teaches us that while we have those people with us who love us and who we love in return, we should benefit from them. Because these souls are given to us in this dunya so we can benefit from them. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala allow us to benefit from them. They say at the passing of a scholar, Mawtul alimi, mawtul alami. The death of a scholar is equivalent to the death of the world. Because a whole generation of people are now left deprived and thirsty at the passing of one individual. Sometimes a person can have such a great impact. Yes.
Indeed, whatever Allah gives or takes belongs to Him, and everything is predestined by Him. Sahih Bukhari and Sahih Muslim. Inna al-ayn tadma'u wal-qalb yahzan wa la naqulu illa ma yarda Rabbuna wa inna bi firaqika ya Ibrahim lamahzun.
This dua was read by Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when his own son Ibrahim bin Muhammad passed away. Ibrahim bin Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The riwayah mentions that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was looking at Ibrahim and he was a small baby struggling to breathe, and Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was crying. Someone said, O Messenger of Allah, are you crying at the death of a child? They thought that crying altogether was a jahili thing, as if Islam doesn't want people to have any emotions when someone passed away. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Inna al-ayna tadma' wal-qalba yahzun, that indeed the eye cries and the heart grieves. Wala naqulu illa ma yarda rabbuna, aw illa ma yurdi rabbuna, that we do not say but what pleases our Lord. Wa inna bi firaqika ya Ibrahim lamahzunun, and O Ibrahim, your departure has surely grieved us. We are very sad at your passing away. Yes, go ahead.
Also, it is very appropriate to use some of the sayings of the pious predecessors in this regard. Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab.
Now he's going to offer some sayings of the Salaf, scholars of the past, that things that they said at the passing or regarding death, some of these statements can be used in a situation like this.
Sayyidina Umar ibn Khattab radiallahu anhu used to say, every day we are told so-and-so has just died. Most definitely, one day it will be said, Umar has died.
Allah, yes.
The Khalifa Umar ibn Abdul Aziz, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, the person who has none of his forefathers between him and Adam alayhi salam alive is indeed deep-rooted in death.
That's every one of us. You know, you ask yourself, is your grandfather alive? Is your great-grandfather alive? Your great-grandfather alive? All of these people have left the dunya, so you as an individual are also deep-rooted in death. You'll find people who share stories of the passing away of their parents. And one day you will also share the story. that Baba is no longer around or Mama is no longer around. Yes.
The illustrious Tabi'i Hassan al-Basri rahimahullah ta'ala said, O son of Adam, you are nothing but mere days. Whenever a day passes away, a part of you also passes away.
You are a combination. The insan is a representation of time, because that's all we have. And every day that passes by, every moment that passes by, a part of us leaves. If you are an ambitious person, if you have a dream to do something big with your life, if you have a desire to serve the deen and to bring change to the world that you live in and leave behind a legacy, you can't waste your life doing silly things. There are 1,000,001 distractions that are out there. There are 100,000 things that you can do. Just pick up your phone and you can lose a few hours just by looking at your screen. Buy one of these gadgets and a few hours can be gone there. Pick up a camera, start taking pictures, years will go away. Right? This is basically the world that we live in, that for everything there are distractions and distractions and distractions. But as someone who may be ambitious, if you have a dream, if you see people around you who have done something with their lives and you say that I want to do this too, you're going to have to take all these distractions and go put them in the box and lock that box. And ask yourself, what can I do with the life that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given me? How do I become a better human being? So what if I'm young? People will tell you you're young, you will learn when you grow up. Don't wait on those people, right? You want to learn when you're young. You want to develop yourself while you're still young. People talk about how senior scholars at some point in their life experienced the love of Allah. Experience that love in your teen years. Experience that love while you're still in your 20s. And then build on that ta'alluq with Allah Azza wa Jalla. Build on that relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Why wait till your 50s and one foot's in the grave? Who knows if we'll even make it that far? People talk about so-and-so became an allama when they were at an older age. Become a scholar of the deen when you're young. The famous Hanafi jurist, Imam Muhammad ibn Hassan al-Shaybani, he studied with Imam Abu Hanifa and became a mujtahid in the madhab and one of the greatest scholars in Islamic history. Imam Muhammad rahmatullahi alayhi, how old was he when he studied with Imam Hanifa? Anyone know? 17, 18 years old. He spent no more than 1 or 2 years with Imam Hanifa rahmatullahi alayhi. He didn't spend that long. He didn't spend years and years with him. It was a few years that he spent with him. Maximum 3 years. This young man, though, had a mind. He was very committed. You think he was goofing around and killing time, letting it fly by? No. Every day of his life was structured. He had a purpose behind living in this dunya. So you are nothing but mere days. Whenever a day passes away, a part of you also passes away. It's as if there's a mini janaza that should occur for yourself every day. Right? A mini janaza. And that is for you to say, astaghfirullah, 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 because a part of you is lost with every day that passes. Go ahead.
He also said, Allah ordained that the ultimate resting place of the believers will be paradise, no less. Hassan al-Basri, rahimahullah ta'ala, student Malik ibn Dinar, rahimahullah ta'ala, said, the wedding of the one who fears Allah will be on the day of judgment.
Wedding here means celebration, right? The wedding here means celebration, that their celebration will be on the Day of Judgment. There's another famous Urdu poem. He says, Jo zindagi guzarega Ramazan ki tarah, mot aayegi usko eid ke chand ki tarah. That the one who spends his entire life like we spend our Ramadan, you know how people are very particular and punctual in Ramadan? The one who decides to spend their entire life like that, jo zindagi guzarega Ramazan ki tarah, the one who spends their entire life treating every day like it's Ramadan, mot aayegi usko eid ke chand ki tarah. At the end of Ramadan, on the 30th or 29th night, when Eid is announced, you know that giggly, exciting feeling you have? That's very difficult to even express. You're just really happy that it's here. So he says, the one who spends their entire life as if it's Ramadan, their death will be the announcement of Eid for them. As they're leaving the dunya, there'll be a little bit of joy there. They'll be a little giggly and happy that it's time for me to leave this dunya. Great things wait for me tomorrow. Yes.
A poet said, We rejoice at the passage of days, whereas each day that passes brings us closer to death. Another poet said in this regard, we don't offer condolences to you because we are certain of life, but because it is the practice of our religion. For the consoled and the consoling may live today, tomorrow, though, they'll vanish away. A suitable poem in this regard is, we die and live every night and day by sleeping. One day we will die and move away. Another poem describes how oblivious humans can be of death. We in this world are like passengers on a ship afloat. We think it's still, but running is the boat. I have quoted all these appropriate morning quotations because I have witnessed many people engaging in discussions that do not suit such a sad occasion. This adds to the distress and anguish of the bereaved. This is also contrary to the style and etiquette of Islam.
So with this, Sheikh Abdul Fattah Baghdad closes off the chapter of passing on condolences. Your words mean a lot, or they could mean a lot. You have to be selective and careful and thoughtful. Don't be dismissive, yet at the same time, support people and help them understand that to every calamity, to every challenge, Islam offers a perspective. And that perspective is that we are all on a journey through this dunya. And today we hear someone has passed away, tomorrow we'll hear another person has passed away. And it's only a matter of time before we will hear that we have passed away. When a person leaves his dunya, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says that we either fall into one of two categories, mustarihun or mustarahun min. Either you are mustarihun or you are mustarahun minhum. Mustarihun means that when this person leaves his dunya, they are relieved of the pain and anguish of the world, all the worries, all the concerns. They won't have to worry about another alarm clock. They won't have to worry about another meeting. No more IRS tax payments. No more electric bills. Mustarihun. This person is now relieved. They don't have to worry about anything. All taklif, all religious obligations are now lifted from this person. You've lived your life. فَإِنَّ الْيَوْمَ عَمَلٌ وَلَا حِسَابٌ. You've completed دَارُ الْعَمَلِ. You've completed the world where you were given the opportunity to do deeds. But then there is a second part to this, which is that as a person leaves, some people might be مُسْتَرَاحٌ مِنْ. Which means that when they leave, they're not relieved themselves, but as they leave, they are relieved of by other people. People feel comfortable now that alhamdulillah, that adab is gone. That punishment, that torture, that human being who brought nothing but pain and misery wherever that human being went, we are now relieved of that person. This is what the hadith refers to as mustarahum minhu. Some of that now people say, Allah ka shukr. That so-and-so human being left the dunya. So this is when we hear people pass away, it's a moment for us to reflect. Which group are we in? What legacy have we left behind? If we were to pass away in this moment, what will people remember us for? For a good voice, for a lot of wealth, for having beautiful features, for dressing very nicely, having a nice car, having a nice home? No one's going to remember you for any of this. Maybe one day or 2 days they might say something. If even that, by the way. But then there are other people. Those that time and history seems to be unable to forget are those who touch the hearts of the people. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave them the tawfiq to bring change in humanity. And this doesn't necessarily require a lot of knowledge. It requires humanity. It requires insaniyat. It requires empathy. For you just to sit down next to people and listen to them, show them some love. Be there for them in their times of joy and also in their times of sorrow. Opening up your door, your arms, your heart, your wealth for such people. You have to learn to do these things. You must learn to do these things. This is how you leave an impact And if you don't reach out to millions of people yourself, you must know that you might just touch one person who will then touch the hearts of so many people. This is mustariha, that person who, when that they leave the dunya, they are now istaraha min nasab al-dunya. Now this person has been relieved of all of the pain and burden that this world offers. One advice that I'll give to every person in this gathering. Most likely we will all be spoken to by someone for the sake of ta'ziyah, meaning we will all lose someone. But before you lose someone, know that the day that you are tested by Allah is the day that your iman will be tested. Every sajda of yours will now matter. Every dhikr you did your entire life will be brought into question, will be under spotlight. Everyone in the heavens and also in the earth will begin to look at you. How do you handle this situation? So long before you are ever tested by Allah, develop a level of loyalty to Allah, where you submit all of your affairs to Allah and know that every small calamity you face in life is just a small little warm-up for the big game, for that big challenge. And may Allah protect us and never test us beyond our abilities. But it will happen. It will happen. I don't know in what form, but everyone's going to get tested. You must build a relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Learn to call out to Allah in your moments of being alone. Learn to say two words to Allah before you go to sleep. Learn to remember Allah when you wake up in the morning. When you see someone facing a calamity in your mind, just check in and remind yourself that this is the reality of life, that today someone is tested, tomorrow someone else is tested. Keep saying that statement, Inna lillah, inna lillah, inna lillah, wa inna ilayhi raji'un. If you learn to deal with calamity in your life and you somewhat become like an expert at dealing with it, I'm speaking from a spiritual perspective, tomorrow when you get hit with the big calamity, you might be able to stand strong. Otherwise, most walls come crumbling down when the waves come clashing against it. When they come slamming against it, those walls come down. And we've seen many people spiral. Some losing their iman, some losing their deen. The water has smashed into them with such ferocity that they couldn't even stand on their feet anymore. So the whole journey of life is understanding that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is qadir ala kulli shay. He is capable of all. He is alimun bi kulli shay. Ahata bi kulli shay ilma. His knowledge encompasses everything. He knows everything. Basiran bi kulli shay. Sami'an bi kulli shay. He sees everything. He hears everything. He is a shahid. He is the nadir. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is aware of everything. And every interaction in this world, every single interaction in this world is an opportunity for us to commit spiritually once again in our loyalty to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's what every interaction is. As you're sitting here right now, there's an opportunity for you to attest your loyalty to Allah. That's what dunya is. That's what life is. At every moment, there is an opportunity for you to be loyal to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That loyalty may come in the form of dhikr. It may come in a physical form where you do something for someone. It may come just through your heart by acknowledging that there is a duty to Allah in this moment. And as you continue to go through this very dense and complicated path in the world, there are some moments that are more difficult. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us patience in those moments too. This thing that he's saying here, learn to give good condolences, this is very important. Because dealing with a musibah, a challenge on your own, is not easy. Therefore, in Islam, we are told, wal asri innal insana lafi khusr. Allah azza wa jalla says, wal asri innal insana lafi khusr. That indeed mankind is in loss when it comes to time. إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ. And what's the last one? وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Except for four people. Mankind is in loss when it comes to time, except for four people. And the last of these four, who is it? وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. Those that are there for one another in times of patience. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا وصابروا. صابروا is باب مفعلة من جانبين. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا وصابروا ورابطوا. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اصبروا, all those who believe, be patient. وصابروا, what does صابروا mean? Encourage one another to be patient. Stand by the side of one another. Go look at Surah Al-Dhuha. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, فَأَمَّا الْيَتِيمَ فَلَا تَقْهَرْ وَأَمَّا السَّائِلَ فَلَا تَنْهَرْ. Go look at Surah Ma'un. أَرَأَيْتَ الَّذِي يُكَذِّبُ بِالدِّينِ فَذَلِكَ الَّذِي يَدُعُ الْيَتِيمِ. Right? All these verses that I'm referencing, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is speaking ill of people who turn away from others that are in need. A believer doesn't do that. When you see someone struggling, you don't walk past them. Every time you see someone being tested by Allah, whether it's a car accident that you're driving past, or someone that's standing at a traffic light with a cup in their hand asking for some food or some money, or maybe it's just someone camped under a bridge because they don't have a home to live in, so they're living in a tent, or someone in a busy downtown center that's probably just pushing a trolley with all their belongings in it. Every time you see someone that is tested by Allah, if you do not feel anything, you must know that you've lost a part of your humanity. There's a part of you as an insan that no longer exists. Doing something is another level. Doing something for that person by giving, contributing, that's level two. We'll talk about that later. But whenever you see someone struggling, there should be something that happens in your heart. I always tell the children that are with me, my kids when we're driving on the road, if we ever see an accident, I always tell them, make dua. Stop whatever you're doing, 10 seconds, make dua for that person. If we drive past someone who is injured and we can't make dua for them, there's something wrong with our insaniyat. We're not human beings anymore. وَتَوَاصُوا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصُوا بِالصَّبْرِ. So that's why the musannif, the author here, is speaking about etiquettes of ta'ziyah, giving condolences, because we will need to be there for each other. When women in the community have miscarriages, other sisters are going to need to stand up. When we have domestic violence in our marriages, unfortunately, people are going to need to be there for support and help each other out. We can't walk away. When someone loses a job, you need to go and support them. Support them doesn't necessarily mean give them money. Maybe that's what you can do. But at least go and just say two words to them. So when you do go to fulfill this responsibility, the author gave us these beautiful guidelines on how to fulfill this duty while ensuring that we don't offend anyone or hurt anyone in the process. We pray that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grants us all tawfiq and makes us from those that are there for our brethren in their times of difficulty and joy. Wa sallallahu ta'ala ala sayyidina Muhammad. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi ta'ala wa barakatuh.